Matthew chapter 5. And our text for this evening is the verse 10. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Each of the Beatitudes show us just how different the life of the Christian is to that of the unregenerate or the ungodly. It would be difficult for anyone who is not a Christian, not a believer, to understand how it would be possible to be blessed in each of these circumstances that the Lord dealt with in the Beatitudes. How is it possible to be poor in spirit and yet at the same time be blessed? How is it possible to mourn and yet at the same time be blessed? How is it possible to be numbered with the meek? As the world understands meekness, and yet be blessed. How is it possible to hunger and thirst, yet to be blessed? How is it possible to be merciful? Be merciful in this world, and the world will just walk all over you. And yet the Lord says it is a blessed thing to be merciful. How is it possible to be pure in heart and yet be blessed, because the world knows nothing about purity of heart? How is it possible to be a peacemaker at the same time be blessed in a world of such turmoil and trouble? And now the Lord declares, blessed are they which are persecuted. How is that possible? How is it possible to be blessed when you're persecuted? The world might say it cannot be. And who would want to be persecuted in order to be blessed? Especially when we remember again the word blessed and what it means. That word blessed in each of the Beatitudes means the highest form of joy, happiness and blessedness. So when you go through the Beatitudes, remember what the word blessed means, the highest form of joy and happiness and blessedness. So let us consider the Lord's words as he delivered this eighth Beatitude. We have considered the other seven. This is number eight. According to Bible numbers, eight is the number of a new beginning. And eight being the number of a new beginning, only those who have experienced that new beginning through the new birth will know what it is to be persecuted, at the same time to be blessed. So let us consider the words of our Savior tonight. Happy being persecuted. We consider first of all the character of the persecution, the character. It is difficult to understand why those who seek to live the Christian life like the Savior, who went about doing good. It's hard to understand how the Christian who follows in the steps of the Savior, and we seek to go about to do good, and yet at the same time suffer persecution. You would imagine would be the last people to be persecuted. And yet, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And the person who lives a godly life, in all probability, will be more persecuted than anyone else. So let us first of all consider the meaning. What did the Lord mean when he said, blessed are the persecuted? That word persecuted, and this is the word the Lord chose. The word the Lord chose, the word persecuted, means to put to flight. It means to drive away. It can mean to pursue in a hostile manner. That's the word the Lord chose. That's the meaning of that word. To pursue in a hostile manner. So that is the word that the Savior used to describe what Christians experience in this ungodly, wicked, and hostile world. Proverbs 29, verse 27, we have these words. He that is upright in the way, he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. And that is so true. Of course it's true, it's the word of God. But we see it lived out in our day. He that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. Proverbs 29:27. Before his conversion, keeping in mind the meaning of the word persecution, and before his conversion on the Damascus Road, Saul of Tarsus persecuted the church. And he persecuted the church for no other reason than they were godly people. They were Christians, going about doing good. And we read in Acts, in chapter 8, and there in Acts chapter 8, and Saul was consenting unto his death, that is Stephen, known as the first Christian martyr. And remember, he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. And yet, he was persecuted. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And there in verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. What does the word persecution mean? To pursue in a hostile manner. Paul persecuted the church in a hostile manner. Can you imagine what it was like in those homes that Paul had entered, and taking out men and women and children and putting them into prison for no other reason than that they were Christians? They were members of the Church of Jesus Christ. And then we read in Acts chapter 9, in the opening two verses, and Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, What did the Lord say? I am the way. So Paul was looking for those who were followers of Christ. Any who are of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Persecuted the church. He pursued the believers. Another example of this aggressive persecution of God's people is seen in the pursuit of Elijah by old Ahab. He pursued Elijah. He went after him. He did. He literally went after him. Because as far as Ahab was concerned, Elijah was the troublemaker in the land. Thou art the man that troublest Israel. And so Ahab persecuted him, hunted him down like a wild dog. No other reason except that Elijah was a holy man and a servant of the God of heaven. Daniel spoke about the days when the spirit of Antichrist would be made manifest. And surely we're in those days now. And what did Daniel say would take place in the days when the spirit of Antichrist would be abroad? Daniel 7 verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Isn't that an interesting term? He shall wear out saints of the Most High. There you have the thought of the persecution. Hunting Christians. Hunting them down. Wearing them out. In pursuit of God's people. This, of course, is in keeping with the word that the Savior used. Because the word persecuted is in the perfect tense. It is in the perfect tense, which means and speaks to us of continual action. Something that is ongoing. That's what we have today. It is ongoing. The persecution of God's people, the persecution of Christians throughout the world. And I read somewhere just a few weeks ago, the most persecuted people in the world today are those who profess Christ. And it'll go on until the Lord returns. So the persecution of the church of Christ will continue, and will do so with intensity until the King returns again and overthrows that man of sin. As well as the meaning of the persecution, you notice also the marks of persecution. The Word of God has much to say about persecution of God's people. We look first of all at the fact. It's a fact that God's people are persecuted, have been. It cannot be denied that the Church of Christ has known persecution down through the centuries. I don't know if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You ever get a copy of it, be sure and purchase it. Fox's Book of Martyrs. It deals with the persecution of the Church in the days of the Reformation. And you think of how the Church of Rome persecuted God's people, burning them at the stake, taking them out into the water, tying them to a stake, and waiting for the tide to come in again that they could watch them drown, men, women, and children. Why? No other reason. Because they were followers of Christ. Because they loved the Lord. The marks of persecution, that's a fact. It cannot be denied that the church has been persecuted for centuries. But the Bible has much to say about the fact of persecution. Indeed, the Savior himself has told us that we as his children will suffer persecution. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 22. And ye shall be hated. Hated. Of all men. Why, what have we done? Why would men hate us? That's a strong word. The Lord didn't say you'll be disliked, you'll be hated. Ye shall be hated of all. Word man's in italics. Seems to emphasize it more. And ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake. There's the reason. Because we're Christians. Because we bear the name of Christ. The Lord says, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. In the verse 23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The Lord spoke about meekness. Well, there it is. When you're persecuted in this city, flee ye to another. It's a fact. God's people are persecuted for no other reason than they're followers of Christ. For my sake. The Lord Jesus said in John 15, verse 20, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Indeed, Paul told young believers that since they had received Christ as Savior, they may expect persecution. They may expect tribulation. The word tribulation means pressure or afflicted. That's in Acts 14, verse 22. You may expect tribulation. And he's talking to young believers, talking to those who have just received Christ. And he's telling them, you may expect tribulation. Well, that's what Paul was told. And Ananias was sent to Paul, or Saul of Tarsus. He's a chosen vessel unto me. And he will be shown the great things that he was to suffer for Christ. That's something to be told, isn't it? You're only just a new believer. Well, that's what Paul told those who had just recently received Christ. And of course, the Christian is under pressure not to speak out. Not to speak out about and against the corrupt practice of this day. Make a public announcement and statement against the sodomites, and you'll see what happens. It's as if all hell had been let loose against you. Take a stand for truth and righteousness. You'll soon find out what persecution is. But as Paul said, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And that's a fact. As well as the fact, there is the form. The form of the persecution. What form does this persecution take? I suppose for us the most common form of persecution, at this present time at least, would be with words. Things that people say about us, because we're Christians. Matthew chapter 5, Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. They'll revile you. That's their words. They'll revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Falsely. For my sake. The Lord here is referring to a believer, to a Christian who lives for Him. And they'll say all manner of evil against you falsely. Not that you've done any wrong. Not that you've committed any crime. No, that's not why they'll be speaking against you and say all manner of evil against you. They'll do that, they'll say all manner of evil against you because you're a Christian. That's all. Because you name the name of Christ. The world hates the Lord. We know how they hated the Lord when they took Him to the cross. Cried out, crucify Him. We have no king but Caesar. We will not have this man to rule over us. And they chanted, crucify, crucify, crucify. They hated Him. If they hated Christ, they'll hate us. Psalm 69, verse 12. They that sit in the gate speak against me. And I was the song of the drunkard. They that sit in the gate. Unfortunately, that's where Lot took up his residence, in the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah. The worst place for Lot to go. That's where all the traitors were, and the gossipers were, and the ungodly were. They all congregated at the gate of the city. And that's what the psalmist here is saying. He's saying, they that sit in the gate, where the ungodly are assembled, speak against me. And I was the song of the drunkard. Those words can apply to Christ. He was made the song of the drunkard. In heaven He's the song of angels. He came into the world and He became the song of the drunkard. And speaking of His enemy, Psalm 7, Psalm 55, verse 21, His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. The tongue is a sword. And we all know how the tongue can wound. And the tongue is used against the child of God. Paul spoke of those who had trial of cruel mockings. Hebrews 11 and verse 36. And think of how the dear Savior had the tongue used against Him. And He did no wrong. No wrong. Think of how the dear Savior was slandered. They said, thou hast a devil. Called the Savior a devil. Again they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Talk about slander. And they used their tongue as a sword against the dear Savior. This fellow. As if he was just a common man in the street. This fellow. Couldn't even give him his name. This fellow doth not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And as the Savior said in Matthew 10, verse 25, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? So we needn't be surprised. Whatever the world says about us, or says to us, our Savior has gone down that road before us. He's gone that way before us. And there's nothing the world will say to us that they haven't already said about Christ. As well as the words, there's also the works of the wicked by way of persecution. Christians may suffer verbal abuse from the wicked, but then there is the physical abuse. Just as Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed. All the day long we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And Paul again speaks about those who suffered physical abuse at the hands of the wicked simply because they were Christians. Hebrews chapter 11. We all know what Hebrews 11 is all about. It's a great chapter of faith. And what men and women were able to accomplish through faith in God. But they suffered for their faith. Hebrews 11. And there we read in verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. They were persecuted for Christ's sake. For no other reason than they named the name of Christ. We've already said, and the Lord Himself has said, that He was persecuted, therefore we'll be persecuted. And you surely can never read Matthew 27, the verses 29 there to 31, without being moved in your own heart and touched in your own heart when you read there about what they did to Christ as they prepared Him for the cross. In Matthew 27, there we read in verse 29, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, after they had stripped Him, plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head and a reed in His hand, and they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon Him. We pointed out before the tense of the words. They didn't just spit on Him once, they kept on spitting. Covered His face and spit on Him. They took the reed and they smote Him on the head, and they did the same thing. They smote Him again and again and again and again. And the Savior stand there. And after that they had mocked Him. They took the robe off from Him, put His own raiment on Him, and led Him away to crucify Him. Bound to touch your heart as you read Matthew 27. No wonder the prophet wrote in Isaiah 52 verse 14, His visage was so marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men. No wonder. When they took that reed and smote Him on the head, and they kept smiting Him again and again and again. The meaning of the persecution, the marks. Then you have the marvel of this persecution. Having looked at the persecution in all its forms, is it not a marvel then that the Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that are persecuted. Is that not a marvel? Persecution with joy and happiness would be difficult to understand. How can the two be united? Blessing and persecution? This is something that the world cannot understand. But for the Christian, the answer is simple. The answer is simple. And we can let the apostles give us the answer. How can you be persecuted and at the same time be blessed? Acts 5, verse 41. The apostles had been persecuted, imprisoned, threatened, and we read then in Acts 5, 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. There's the blessedness. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They counted it a joy. They counted it an honor to suffer shame for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Blessed are the persecuted. We're blessed because we'll do it all for Jesus. We'll do it all for Jesus. We'll do it all for Jesus. Why? Because he's done so much for me. The Apostle Paul in Philippians, in chapter 3, in chapter 3, Philippians verses 7 and 8. And what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I gave up everything for Christ. But he doesn't finish there. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Suffer the loss of all things, and everything that I had, to me now, it's nothing more than dung in the ground, because I have Christ. And Paul says, I have Christ, therefore I have everything. And I count it an honor to suffer all things for him. Blessed are they that are persecuted. We consider how Paul and Silas were able to sing in the jail at Philippi. They were able to sing. They were singing. After we are told they had laid many stripes upon them, yet they were able to sing because they suffered for Christ. It was an honor for them to suffer for the Lord. We have considered the character of the persecution. We consider then the cause of the persecution. The Lord has said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's the cause. Righteousness' sake. First of all, you can say, that's a good cause. Righteousness, that's a good cause. That person is to be commended who will stand up for truth and for righteousness, whatever the cost. That person is to be commended who will speak out against error and wickedness and speak up for truth and righteousness. And according to the Savior, that person will be blessed. Yes. And that will be the cause of that person who is godly. We've already quoted those words or referred to the words in 2 Timothy. And there in the chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, verse 11, it is a faithful saying. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall live, also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. We do it for him. We will gladly suffer for him. And again, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul says, I suffered persecution at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Everywhere he went, he suffered persecution. Why? Because he was standing up for the Lord and preaching truth and righteousness. And so he suffered for it. 1 Peter 4, verse 16. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed if you suffer as a Christian, because he is suffering for a good cause. And may that song be our battle song. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. Remember, as a church, years ago, when the Pope of Rome visited England and Scotland, our ministers went over. We went over to London, and we had our placards underneath our overcoats. And whenever the Pope appeared in his Pope mobile, we of course lifted these placards and held them up against the Pope of Rome. And the police were amongst us, plain clothes, and they arrested different men of our group, Free Presbyterian ministers. And when that happened, the whole group of men started to sing, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend this cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. It was great to sing that hymn. And in many ways has become known as the battle hymn of the Free Church. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. So we could not have a greater or a more noble cause to stand up for and to suffer for, and for truth and righteousness, and to stand up for the Lord. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's a good cause. It's a genuine cause. Remember again the words of Paul to Timothy, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is the person who will live godly in Christ Jesus who will suffer persecution. Now there are those, and this is why we've made this point genuine. Cause. It has to be a genuine cause. There are those who have claimed to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, and it has been nothing of the kind. This the Apostle Peter deals with. We go to 1 Peter chapter 4. There in 1 Peter chapter 4, we read In verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affairs. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And what Peter is saying here, professing believers may suffer for all kinds of things, and he mentions here evildoers and busybodies. Busybodies, delving into other men's affairs, and whenever they're rebuked for it, they claim to be suffering for the cause of Christ. Nothing of the sort. They're only troublemakers. And I'm sure in the course of your Christian life, you've come across individuals who profess to know the Lord, and that's all they are. They're just troublemakers. They're not standing up for anything. They're certainly not standing up for truth and righteousness. And so when they are rebuked, they say, oh, well, I'm suffering for the Lord. No, they're not. The Christian who has a loose tongue, or as Peter has said, behaves as a busybody in other men's affairs, cannot claim to be suffering for the cause of Christ. No, sir. Has to be a genuine cause. And the genuine cause is truth, righteousness, and Christ. Again, Proverbs 29, verse 22, he that is upright, in the way is abomination to the wicked. Need to be upright. You're being a busybody, you're not being upright. Delving into other men's affairs, talking behind their back, you're not being upright. Has to be a good cause and a genuine cause. So we have considered the character of the persecution, the cause of the persecution, but finally with the compensation of the persecution. Persecution brings blessed compensation to the Christian. Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Mark Paul's words. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us, not against us, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And Paul talked about his persecutions as being a light thing. For our light affliction. You want to know what Paul's persecutions were? And how he was persecuted? Well, 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. And there Paul says in verse 24, this is his light affliction. Verse 24, 2 Corinthians 11, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. They always gave 39 stripes in case they made a mistake. It was to be 40, but they always gave 39. So you think of it, he was beaten with a rod 39 times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I had been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And yet Paul says, our light affliction, which is fought but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Worketh for us, not against us. And here the Lord says, in this beatitude, and here's the compensation, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs, there's the compensation, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the promise. Isn't it good to know that while we may suffer for the cause of Christ here, we are promised a place in glory. No persecution, no matter how severe, can keep us out of heaven. The world can do its worst and say whatever they want and do whatever they want, but the world will never keep us out of heaven. Hell will never keep us out of heaven. The devil and all the forces of the underworld will never keep us out of heaven. As Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, glory to God, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise that is. You remember what Paul said, I am now ready to be offered. Word offered means sacrifice. I'm now ready to be sacrificed. Ready to die for the cause of Christ. Hence there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away, that shall be given to me by the righteous judge, and not unto me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. There's the compensation. We'll receive that crown. The Lord, when he's giving us the crown, will say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12. There's the promise. And there's the place. The place that the Savior spoke of is the kingdom of heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And what a place. It's a place where God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain. for the former things are passed away. That's the place. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs. Theirs. No one else. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear loving, eternal God, again we thank Thee for the comfort we receive from the Word. We thank Thee for Thy Word. How that multitude on the mount that day rejoiced in hearing the Word from the lips of the Savior. They were amazed, for they heard one that spoke with authority. What must have been like to have been there? But Lord, we're glad that we have the written word to read, to meditate upon, to study, to preach, to share, to feed upon, for it is the food of our souls. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Fill us with thy word. Lord, we thank Thee for this day. We ask Thee, Lord, Thy blessing will be upon us now. Rest upon each one of us as we leave the Lord's house. Grant everyone traveling mercy. Bless our visitors as they will soon return to their home. Lord, be with us throughout this week. Keep us in our going out and coming in. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.